This is KSJD. Good morning. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning, we kick off an occasional series here on KSJD that's devoted to exploring our shared sense of place and how conservation plays a role in defining our sense of place and our relationship to the land. My guests this morning are Chuck and M.B. McAfee, who live near Lewis, Colorado, and have chosen to put some of the land that they own into a conservation easement through the Montezuma Land Conservancy. Good morning to you both.
Howdy.
Hi, Tom.
You both grew up here and decided to come back. Why did you decide to come back to this area and settle in the way that you have? Chuck, you want to start? MB?
Okay. That's interesting. I don't know if I ever decided to come back or if I just always knew I would. But the particular situation when we came back was that I had kind of finished my career at Hewlett-Packard. My dad had just died, and it was time to come home and reconnect with my home place.
MB, what was the conversation like around some of that decision making?
Well, I don't know if there ever was a decision about to come home. I think the fact we would go back home was always part of our conversation in our marriage from really early years. And my sense of place here is framed by the landscape of Mesa Verde, Sleeping Ute, La Plata's, the big mountains of the San Juans, the tips of the La Salles, and the Abajos, that this cradle is my physical sense of place. It's where I belong.
Chuck, you want to expand on that at all? I hear what MB is saying about this sort of landscape that's easily defined by looking around the perspective. Does that also resonate with you?
Well, in a different sense. Growing up here, I didn't look around like MB did. My focus was on the rows and beans in front of my tractor, actually.
Looking down more.
I was looking down. So my connection with the place was with the farm and all the work that went with the farm and watching and learning from my dad around farming. So that was really my connection until we came back, was mostly that old farm place. It put me through college. I learned a lot about how to work with tools and the ethics of hard work. So that was where I was, a little bit differently from MB.
Why do you think it was a foregone conclusion that you'd come back here someday?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know why that is. It just seemed like, where else would I want to be? This is the place. This is where my roots are.
MB, when you look out at the landscape that you were describing earlier and you said, you know, that's where you feel like you're at home, what does that landscape mean to you? When you look out and you can see those different perspectives, those landmarks that you named, what does that mean to you? Why is that important?
Well, from where we live, we can see all of the things that I mentioned. And somehow the scrubby old sagebrush land where we live is sort of the center of this cradle, this physical cradle. And I think that somewhere along the way, when Chuck's dad was ill and we were trying to think about the future of the land there that Chuck farmed, saving that land or protecting it, keeping it in a whole piece, just seemed like the way to make this cradle mine.
Why was that important to you, Chuck, to keep that land that had been in your family? I mean, there was other families that could have sold off land and, you know, moved on. Why was it important for you to keep that contiguous piece like that?
Well, it really goes back to the fact that my grandfather, actually, his sisters homesteaded it and then grew up on it. And it just was part of the fabric, I guess, of my life. I remember when MB and I moved back down here, we had another little place, an 80-acre place that we had purchased that's irrigated. We thought, that's where we're going to put our house. We moved back down, walked out there and said, what? This is not where we're going to live. And so we connected immediately back to the dry land, and that's where we are. So I don't know what the real cause or the depth of that is. It's just kind of like breathing. It's just there for me. There's
natural.
No question about it. Yep. Natural is a good word. It really is a natural place to be, without question.
Yeah.
Well, and Chuck and I grew up together. I spent a lot of time out on the McAfee farm, and just watching the dedication and hard work that went into being on that farm, making it productive, knowing that that's what got Chuck and his siblings through college. When I came home after 40 years of being away, I just felt a tremendous respect for that land and the heritage that it represented.
It sounds like there's roots, deep roots, but it's almost like roots through time, sort of these invisible roots that go down into the landscape through working the land and the heritage, the family, the people that were involved in all of that. It's kind of hard to describe, I guess, isn't it?
Well, and you know, I think a lot of that has to do with noticing what's around. I remember, and I don't know when it happened, but MB and I were up there once when we had come back here to spend Christmas or something, and she said something like, it's nothing but sagebrush. And then you start to look, well, look at the stuff that's in the sagebrush, the elk and deer and hawks and foxes and coyotes. So there's a lot going on in the sagebrush. And it's when you start to notice that, I think, that you became more involved. Yeah. And I was already there because I grew up in the sagebrush. So, and my granddad dug it out so we could farm it. I don't know. It's just ingrained.
I love this idea that, you know, Chuck, you spent most of your early life looking down into that soil and kind of, you know, the rocks and the dirt and the sagebrush. And MB's describing this expansive view and this sort of mm-hmm. dichotomy, this completeness that you are describing around relationship with the land at this small kind of micro level down all the way up to this big macro level of these big landscapes that we get to enjoy around here. It's a really beautiful, complete picture that you both paint.
Well, it's interesting, too. This morning we were looking out the window and we both commented on the landscape that's way out there with the great big Wilson Peaks. So I've connected with that, too. And then we both have a great deal of interest now in soil health. So we're still at the micro level and the macro level.
Right. All the whole scale. Yep. Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm Tom Yoder. You're listening to KSJD. This morning we are kicking off an occasional series here that's devoted to exploring our sense of place around this area. My guests are Chuck and MB McAfee. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. You're listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning we're talking about our shared sense of place, kicking off an occasional series here on KSJD. And we're going to talk now about conservation and how it plays a role in defining our shared sense of place and our relationship to the land. This morning I'm talking with MB and Chuck McAfee. They live near Lewis, Colorado, and they've chosen to put away some of their land into a conservation easement through the Montezuma Land Conservancy. I want to talk, why was that something that came up for you, Chuck, when you were looking at land and you thought, what am I going to do with all of this? Was an easement something that you had thought of naturally, or how? Tell me a little bit about that process.
Well, that process probably began 20 years ago, 30 years ago, MB's correcting me. And it was kind of in conversations with my dad, because he was not a strong conservation guy, but yet he had a really good connection and a very quiet one with the land. And we started to learn about conservation easements. I don't remember how. But we worked with a woman and with the Department of Wildlife and a few others out of Durango, because MLC didn't exist. Hmm. And the idea there was just that whatever we have here ought to remain. And then we started to get a little poetic and said, we're just borrowing this land. Let's leave it in a way that other people can use it later. But all of that came together again in some way that was not a really direct plan. It just evolved as we started to see ways to deal with and preserve the values of what we began to articulate.
MB, what does that phrase, borrowing the land, mean to you?
Well, it relates to your phrase in introducing this program about shared sense of place. And a while ago, I said I liked it because it was mine or something to that effect. And I think, I mean, I'm here temporarily. I can enjoy it. Other people can enjoy it. And future folks can enjoy it, or folks of the future can enjoy it at however level or however that might play out. Our 2,500 acres is not going to be split up with cookie cutter houses and cul-de-sacs and roads. It has a whole variety of protections on it in perpetuity, and it's mine to share. And that's what that means to me.
This round runs counter to a lot of our culture around saving things that are ours and sort of putting fences around things and holding things close and saying mine. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder about that value that you're bringing to this, because it really does run counter to a lot of what our culture and the way we think about our economy teaches us, is that we need to keep these things maybe in our family and pass them along and make money off of them. Mm-hmm. Chuck, do you want to talk a little bit about that and how you're looking? It sounds like you're really looking beyond that.
Well, there's a few pragmatic things about it. Our daughters do not have children, and so they're the end of the family dynasty, at least on our side of the picture. So the future for a family thing is a much more complex thing for us. And what it looks like to us is that we get to dictate in some way, and that isn't a very good word, but we get to determine how the land won't be used. And we get to leave some really good, I think, viable options about how can be used. So for us, again, it's a feeling that whatever's there and whatever we value can continue to be there for other people who value it. And if they don't, they can go away, and there will be others who come in who will. So I guess it's just a continuity of seeing things from our perspective that are important to us, and setting up a system whereby those can be maintained.
Yeah. MB, Montezuma Land Conservancy, does work like this a lot. They've been doing a lot of hard work over the last few years, putting away is not really the right term, preserving, conserving landscapes, not just for the people who own the land, but for the rest of us too. And I think it's something that maybe people don't realize, is when you hear about big land conservation easements that have been completed, you might think, that's great, that landowner now has that conservation easement. But can you expand a little bit, MB, on the idea that this is shared, and that a conservation easement is not just for the landowners themselves, but really for the rest of us too?
Well, a conservation easement is for the family and their descendants who, you know, made the conservation easement. So a conservation easement's not quite like public land. and in our case, we really do want to share our land, whatever is out there, the views you can see from there, the snow you can ski on, the elk that you can watch, the artifacts you can see on the ground and leave be. We want to share that with as many people as we can, but we still, and whoever comes after us, has the authority or the right to regulate how that happens.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's sharing, but it's not like public lands where we have roads all over or bike trails or whatever. So there's some element of control, and I think that's pretty important. And one of the values of a conservation easement is that whoever is doing conservation easements can put a number of stipulations around the use of the land. And some people might not be inclined to invite a lot of other people out to their land. We like folks. We like folks to like our land and like our viewscape. So we share.
Yeah, it's kind of a happy middle ground, I guess, between totally private and totally public. Mm-hmm. Chuck, when you talk to other people about land conservation, maybe you've been approached by people who are considering and putting an easement on some of their property. What are those conversations like?
Well, they're really asking questions. Why are you, a landowner, interested? And I guess there's two things that come up for me. If you're interested because of the financial part of it, think that through really carefully because it might not work for you. If you're interested because of the values and what you want to leave behind you as a legacy, then this is a really good way to go. And so ask yourself a few questions and then come back and let's talk some more so that I can share with you how it's working for us.
All right. Well, thank you both for talking with me about this morning and being very open and honest about your experiences on the land out here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, enjoyed it.
This is KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. I've been talking this morning with Chuck and MB McAfee about land conservation and our shared sense of place. If you want to learn more about land conservation and conservation easements, you can go to montezumaland.org. That's the website for the Montezuma Land Conservancy.